Blog Talk Radio.
This show is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These intensive studies are not for a warm, fuzzy feeling. but to ascertain the who, what, when, where, and how, and what mistakes we made to get us in the boats we're in today, all sinking together. It's true. And perhaps the antidote to get us out of these sinking ships. Cartrell and I, we love sharing the word of Yah with you, and we hope that you love receiving it. But most importantly, we pray that you apply it. Study is good, but application is far better. It's true. We get started, Cartrell and I like to make comments on contemporary subjects. Now, there was some people celebrating due justice for George Floyd. Nothing wrong with that per se. But I knew that things wasn't going to change very much. In Elizabeth, North Carolina. Now, we don't know the complete information about the brother in Elizabeth, North Carolina, but it's something for us to be cognizant of. Okay? You see, some people think that their change is going to come by virtue of the laws of these United States of America, not knowing that we are just a supplement to their Constitution. Yes, originally, we were considered three-fifths of a human being. They had a supplement. You know, these are the refined people. Refined people are smart. They keep the crazy people in line, meaning the KKK, the Nazis, the neo-Nazis. The refined people are much smarter than that. They know how to fool you like three-card Marty. Now you see it, now you don't. Saying some of us think we're free. You see, Yom Su was born into captivity, lived into captivity, and if the Most High don't free me, I die in captivity. See, I know how things work, not like some of you. That's why I'm into these studies, truly. And one more thing, young lady was shot, 16-year-old, killed, trying to stab another young lady, one of us. See, the police are not your personal babysitters, okay? See, you have some onus and responsibility as parents to raise your children the best you can, to solve problems without violence. But since some of us neglected our responsibilities to raise our children as best we can in this captivity, our children are running all herkle-jerkle all over the place and doing all sorts of things, killing each other, killing one another, killing us, and trying to stab one another. See, so-called accountability works both ways. They should be accountable to us, but they're not. They're not ours. But we should be accountable to one another, and most importantly, accountable to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And we shouldn't be going around trying to stab each other where their police come on the site and shoot us. Then we cry, foul, foul, foul. What about the foul behavior we exhibit toward one another? Don't we share some responsibility? Come on now. Just stop it. All right. That's all I got to say about that. I'm going to bring my friend and brother on from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Pari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you, and I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. And your family also, brother.
Yes, I appreciate that. We had quite a dilemma. The Most High told us that there would be a time for trouble, a time of trouble for Jacob like there's never been. But out of it, Jacob shall be saved. So Jacob's seed is in trouble.
Real big trouble.
There's no psychologists or people that come into our neighborhoods to rectify the problems that we have with our families. We got single mothers raising children.
Right.
No discipline in the house.
Right.
You will see, you know, our teenagers out there in the street, based on social media and peer pressure, getting into these altercations because she called the police to get help because he was about to jump her. So she basically was trying to defend herself.
Uh-huh.
And some people would ask, why would you defend yourself with a knife? Other people would defend themselves with guns and AK-47. A knife is on a low scale.
Right.
However, if the police arrive on the scene, why would you escalate the situation as opposed to allowing the police that you call to handle the situation?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm looking at the video, but the video don't necessarily tell you everything that goes on. And
right.
yes, she did have a knife, and she swung at the sister's head. Good
right.
thing the sister ducked. She had good reflexes.
You ain't lying, because she just stuck that little girl. And see, both of them, there were faults on both sides of the fence. Those young girls coming into her neighborhood to fight her, and she's going out to be confrontational. Why do you just stay in the house, young baby? I mean, you didn't have to pay police. Tough guy. I'm tough. I have it on my own. You couldn't. That's why you're dead today. See, our children need to be taught how to handle matters without resorting to violence. Unfortunately, because as Katria indicated and alluded to some of the facts, we don't. And thus, this is the end result. Crazy.
So, we just saw with the George Floyd trial that police officers are supposed to assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had a gun.
Right.
A teenage girl got a knife.
Right.
Can't you subdue her with that little bitty knife she got? You see, she swung at the girl, she missed. But you're going to take out your gun and shoot her 5 times?
Well, you know, it's a butcher knife, Katja. It wasn't a steak knife. It was a butcher knife. You know
listen,
how big a butcher
knife is? Come on, man.
Yeah.
These police officers are trained warriors that have the ability to use deadly force. And deadly force is the last resort. A young teenage girl with a knife should have been able to be subdued by one or two police officers without anybody
more,
getting hurt.
Katrio, more easily said than done.
No.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I've seen some young girls, and they hit hard, brother. They hit. I'm not trying to justify the police. Don't get the game twisted. But what I'm saying is that weapon is a deadly weapon. In a trained warrior's hand, even in someone that's not trained, it can still kill you. I'm not running up on nobody with no butcher knife, Cartrell. They don't pay me enough money for that.
She was trying to protect herself.
Yeah, she should have stayed in the house, Cartrell. Okay?
Well, we don't know the circumstances as to why she did.
See, that's what I'm saying. We need to resolve matters much more than resorting to violence, Cartrell. I was a man of balance. I know what I'm talking about, okay? So we need to learn to handle matters much more than resorting to violence. We need to talk it out, stay in the house, wait till you call the police. Why are you staying in the house until the police came? Your life, you know, we always want to handle matters violently. That is not how you handle matters. That's not how we train to handle matters in these studies, Cartrell. And we're not in our land. That being said, that's their police. Their police are not obligated to save our lives. So if they don't know what these studies are all about, they're not trying to get to the root of the matter. They're not trying to solve problems. Everybody, just like we learned, everybody is doing what they want to do. They ain't doing what y'all said do. They do. You just studied on that yesterday. It's a time and place for it. It's a time to stay in the house and a time to come out the house. It's a time to get a knife. It's a time to cut a steak with a knife, Cartrell. We need to stop. The police are not our babysitters. And as long as these young folk don't understand the core of the matter, these are the end results. We're trying to put patchwork everything. You can't patchwork everything in captivity. You're in captivity. They ain't here to save you. And that's the end result. Go ahead, Cadre. I'm sorry, brother.
The truth of the matter, my brother, is that white people are just as violent. As a matter of fact, they go on mass shootings. But somehow, some way, these mass shooters come out alive in their situations. They could be carrying AK-47s. These niggas could be carrying grenades. And somehow, some way, they come out the situation unharmed, in handcuffs, maybe going to Burger King to get a little snack before you go to jail.
Right. But Godreal,
something about a young sister, a teenager, with a knife. She ain't carrying no AK-47. She don't have a Magnum in her hand. Yet, you shoot her 5 times.
As I said, they're not our babysitters, and they aren't our friends.
That's true. That's
and
true.
If you know, and if you know, and if you know who you are, and know what you should be doing, you wouldn't put yourselves in harm's way because of that. You know they ain't coming there to help you, okay? So, like, you made this statement. She called the police. Why did she let the police handle the matter? Because our hearts are broken, Cartrell.
Or maybe she felt threatened. The girl was getting ready to do something. We don't know.
Well, Cartrell, I would suggest stay in the house, okay? Let the police handle it. You call them, let them handle it.
Okay, I've seen situations in my hood. People ain't waiting for the police come.
Well, maybe they should. Maybe we need, Cartrell, we read this all the time, anger. Letting your anger get the best of you.
Yes, and unfortunately, we don't have the teaching readily available as a culture to us in every household, like most other cultures do.
Right.
Chinese people know the teachings of Confucius, and most other people know the doctrines of their fathers.
Right.
So we've been cut off from that. So therefore, we have broken homes, broken family.
Right.
She probably being raised by a single mother who's out there working, struggling, fighting, you know, to keep the family alive. And
right.
She's in front of the computer and social media, and you get caught up in peer pressure, and people threaten you.
And we found out yesterday about peer pressure with the king. He didn't let peer pressure get the best of him. He went to Yah. Some of us need to learn how to go to Yah. Okay, and some of us need to learn how to control our emotions, Cartrell. And that, I had to do that. You had to do it. I cheered. Hey, don't let your emotion get the best of you, okay? You need to control yourself. You need to govern your emotions and stay in the house. Let them handle it. Let them run the little girls on home. You ain't got to be all bad. See, our problem, we want to go for bad, Cartrell. With bad. You want to go for bad with bad. And that don't work for you. That works against you. You're not controlling your emotion. You want to go for bad. Then you end up dead inadvertently. So my suggestion is come along with us on these studies and learn how one must exercise and comport themselves. How to control your anger. The who, what, the time and place for everything under the sun. And surely there's a time for the young girl to be well in the knife, but not going out in confrontation well in the knife. If the little girl that run in the house, I stuck all of them. But I wouldn't went out in the house. Wouldn't went out the house, Godreel. But they come up in that house, I'd have made them out of sliced sandwiches. Okay? So we need to train our children a little bit better, Godreel. Some responsibility lies on us, too. And stop taking for granted that this government, their police officers, are going to do the best thing for us, which they hadn't, which they won't, and they never will. All right, Cartrell.
The truth of the matter, is that they're definitely afraid of us.
That's true.
Because if I seen a 15-year-old white girl with a knife, I would not use deadly force on her. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether I was a police officer or not. But they fear our people, whether it's a 15-year-old girl or brothers on all. They have this death-defying fear of us, where their first resort, as opposed to their last resort, is to use deadly force.
Well, no, I would have been scared a little white girl. I said, Sue Ann, Sally Mae,
put that knife down.
I beat your ass.
Well, I tase you. He could have used a taser on her, right?
Yeah, I'd have said
use a taser.
Yep. Sue Ann, Sally Mae, put that. You know I'll beat you. All right. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. And Cartrell, you're certainly right there. Scared as hell of us. All right. Chapter 25. That's why we need to do much more with our communities governing ourselves. Chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. You know what? We're going to find some out in these studies, too. You watch and see what I'm saying. The Most High always saw the juxtaposition studies with studies. Okay? Samuel, the prophet, died. And all Israel gathered and lamented him, and they buried him at Ramah, his home. Now, King David went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Moab whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very wealthy. He owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. Now, at the time, he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. The woman was intelligent and beautiful. You know, ain't nothing wrong. I like intelligent and beautiful. And sometimes she ain't got to be beautiful. She can just be intelligent. You know, Cartier, once upon a time, I had a woman. She was quite intelligent, but she wasn't all that beautiful. But I let the crowd get the best of me. You know, what you doing with that ugly woman? But they didn't know that ugly woman. Ooh, she may have been uglier than them, but she was good for me. But, you know, I let the crowd get the best of me, Cartrell. And I got...
Well, you know what the four tops say, right?
What did it say, Cartrell?
You know what the four tops said, right?
What's that, brother?
Beauty is only skin deep.
And if they only knew what I knew at that time, but like I said, peer pressure is a mother. You just said it. Peer pressure, and you'll make dumb mistakes. I wish I'd have kept her. She may have looked like a mule from behind, but she was mine.
You're rough, man. You're rough. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, God, I'm going to tell you, she was down for young Sue. She looked like a mule from behind, but she was mine. But, you know.
Come on now. She had to look better than that.
Shoot. I ain't lying. You know, yeah, I would have, look at Katja, let me tell you how ugly she was. I ain't telling no lie. If I was a farmer back in the land and I was going to saddle up my mule to farm the land, I would have mistakenly saddled her up, okay?
Stop it, Ox, stop it, stop it, stop it.
Okay, I'm just telling you.
I'm
sorry, but it's true. But she was beautiful. She had a nice body. She was intelligent. But, you know.
Beauty is skin deep, man.
I know it now, Cartrell.
Yes, sir.
But when I was younger, I didn't know no better. But the man, Calebite, from the descendants of Caleb, he was a hard man, an evil doer. Not only was he a hard man, he did evil stuff. King David was in the wilderness when he learned that Nabal was shearing his sheep. King David dispatched 10 young men, and King David instructed the young men, go up to Carmel, and when you come to Nabal, greet him in my name. Say as follows, to life, I'm giving blessing you with life, greeting to you in your household, to all that is yours. I hear that you are now doing your shearing. As you know, your shepherds have been with us. Your shepherds that guard your sheep have been with us. And we didn't harm them. We've been around them. We ain't laid a hand on them. And nothing of theirs was missing all the time you were in Carmel. We ain't touched nothing of yours. And your young men, ask your young men, and they will tell you. So receive these young men graciously. For we have come on a festive occasion, man. We feeling good. Please give your servants and your son, King David, whatever you can. King David's young men went and delivered his message to Nabal in the name of Dawood, King David. When they had stopped speaking, Nabal asked, Dawood's servants. Who is Dawood to me? Like, who is he to me? Who is the son of Jesse? I ain't kidding anybody here. There are many slaves nowadays who run away from their master. He calling Dawood a slave, King Dawood, a slave that has run away from his master. That is what he suggested implying and inferring. Should I then take my bread and my water and the meat that I slaughtered from my own shears and give them to men who come from I don't know where? Man, that's how we talk. Therefore, King Dawood's young men retraced their steps. They went back. And when they got back, they told him all this. And King Dawood said to his men, gird up your sword. Oh, Lord, this food has made me hot. He girded up his sword. And King Dawood, too, girded up his sword. He ready to put the metal to the pedal. About 400 men went up after King Dawood, with 200 remained with the baggage. One of Nabu's young men told Abigail, which was Nabal's wife, that King Dawood had sent messages from the wilderness to greet their master humbly, and that he had spurned and spit on him. But when the men had been friendly, to us, and we were not harmed, nor did we miss it. They didn't harm us. They didn't take anything all the time that we were about with them while we were in the open. They did us no harm. They were a wall about us both by night and by day. They protected us all the time that we were with them tending the flocks. So consider carefully what you should do, Abigail. For harm threatens our master. Oh, this boy, this fella, he hot. He fired up, just like some of us get. But here's the difference with King Dawood. He know how to control his anger. I told you, Yahweh would show us some things. See, that's the difference with righteous indignation. Because it threatens to harm our master and all his household. Our master is such a nasty fellow that no one can speak to him. And some of us like that today. Nasty people. And can't nobody speak to us. Abigail, the smart, beautiful, intelligent woman, quickly got together 200 loaves of bread, 2 jars of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheats of parched corn, 100 cakes of raisin, 200 cakes of pressed figs. She loaded, man, these folks, they have warehouses of food. I mean, we need to learn how to be like them. She loaded them on asses, and she told her young men, go on ahead of me, I will follow you. She was a very prudent and discretional woman, but she did not tell her husband, Nabal. She was riding on the ass, going down a trail on the hill where King Dawood and his men appeared coming down toward her. She was going toward them. They was coming to put the metal on the pedal. And she met them. Now, King Dawood had been saying it was all for nothing that I protected that fellow's possession. He ain't appreciating nothing in the wilderness. And that nothing he owned is, I did this all for nothing. And he has paid me back evil for good. And sometimes folks do you like that. May Yah do thus and more to the enemies of King Dawood if by the light of morning I leave a single male of his. He said, let Yah. He said, let's read that again. He said, may Yah do thus and more to the enemies of Dawood. He's making an oath. If by the light of morning. Now, he didn't put that oath on himself. He didn't put that oath on his people. He didn't put that oath on anybody, but he was smart. He put the oath on his enemies. Smart move. And he says, if by the light of morning, I leave a single male of his basically alive. and let that curse be on my enemies. So when Abigail saw King David, she quickly dismounted, showing prudence from the ass, and threw herself face down before King David, bowing to the ground, prostrate at his feet. She pleaded. And see, she used wisdom and understanding. Let the blame be mine, my lord, but let your handmaiden speak to you. Hear your maid's plea. Please, my lord, pay no attention to that wretched, she didn't know her husband was no good, that wretched fellow, Nabal. For he is just what his name said. His name meant. You know what? I like this woman, Abigail. She was a prudent, smart woman, and she knew her husband. She said, he is just what his name says. His name means boar. He is a boar. A likable woman. Got humor. I like a sense of humor. Your handmaid did not see the young man whom my lord sent first. And I swear, Lord, Yah lives, and as you live, the Elohim has kept you from seeking redress by blood with your own hands. Yah has stopped you from doing this, King David. That's why I'm here. Let your enemies and all who would harm my lord fare like Nabal. And I'm glad you put that curse on your enemies. Let them all fare like Nabal. Now, here is the present which your handmaid has brought to you, my lord. Let it be given to the young men who are followers of my lord. Please pardon your maid's boldness. I'm not the kind of woman. I ain't that bold like that. But I had to put the facts out to you. I'm not bold. I'm not trying to be presumptuous with you. For the Elohim will grant my lord an enduring house because my lord is fighting the battles. She's smart. She said, you ain't fighting your personal battles, okay? This kind of woman you need. See, you don't need no kind of woman that's going to be just putting it all out there. See, you need a woman to tell you something, but there's a way to tell somebody anything. And this woman was smart enough to know that this man was a man of Yah. And so she used her intelligence to get him off his own personal course of action with his own anger, his own self-righteous, even though he was right, but she calmed him down. She said, Yah will grant my lord an enduring house, contingent upon the fact, because my lord is fighting the battles of Yah, not personal battles. No wrong is ever to be found in you. You ain't wrong. And if anyone sets out to pursue you and seek your life, the life of my lord will be bound up in the bundle of life and the care of the Elohim. They won't be able to get at you. But he will fling away the lives of your enemies because you're fighting Yah's battle. She's reasoning with him. As from the hollow of a sling, you that rock, and Yah got you wrapped up. It's in the hollow of this swing. You protected. And when Yah has accompanied for my lord all the good, because you're fighting his battle, you're not fighting personal vendettas. He has promised you. She's keeping him on the right course of action and has appointed you ruler of Israel. And she's smart. Do not let this be a cause of stumbling personal vendettas and of faltering courage to my lord, that you have shed blood needed. See, you ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do all these personal vendettas. You the king. You supposed to be looking out for it. You're going to have petty men and women like that. You can't let them get you off your course of action because you protected by Yah. Okay? Don't let them get off your course of action, okay? You the king.
And so the king must act like a king. You must be magnanimous when it comes to people like that, because it's going to be always novels, okay? This is a smart woman. I like her. Because she said, you shed blood. You didn't have to kill him. He ain't worth killing. And that, my lord, sought redress with his own hands for his own personal vendettas instead of seeking what Yah would have him to do. And when the Elohim has prospered, my lord, remember, I kept you on the right track, Dawood, King Dawood. See, you can't let your anger get the best of you, King Dawood. The Most High got you protected, King Dawood. You know, marble ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. And you can't let your anger get the best of you. You the king. There's going to be many more novels. He ain't the first one. You need to be on focus of taking care of the people. You didn't do wrong taking care of the young men out there. That was what you supposed to have been doing. Not novel gave you something or not. You the king. You can't let your anger get the best of you, king. Because Yah got you. Long as you're fighting Yah's battle, you can't fight your personal battles. You the king. Because that needless to share his blood. Where they going to get you? Where they going to get you with Yah? They ain't going to get you nowhere with Yah. Smart woman. I like her. And King Dawood said to Abba, because he understood this, man, that's a smart cookie right here. Praise be Yah, the Elohim of Israel, who have sent you this day to me. Man, this woman back. Ooh, she didn't come here cussing and fussing and fighting and pointing fingers. This woman used her knowledge of Yah and used her knowledge to know that I'm the king anointed by Yah. And use her knowledge to tell me don't let my anger get the best of me in fighting personal battles at the expense of Yah, because I'm supposed to be fighting Yah's battle. Man, praise Yah. I like this woman. And he says to her, praise Yah, the Elohim of Israel, who sent you this day to me. I needed this. And blessed be your pudding. And you were smart about pudding. You didn't come out cussing and fussing and pointing your fingers at me. And blessed be you yourself for restraining me, keeping my anger under control, my personal vendettas, restraining me from seeking redress in blood by my own hand, because I would have been wrong. For as sure as Yah, the Elohim of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, had you not come quickly to me, I would have harmed you, because I'd have got all angry, all self-righteous, feeling some sort of way. And inadvertently, I could have hurt you when I came upon Naboth and his men. I could have struck you down too, because I was into myself. I was feeling myself. I was feeling some sort of way, just like these young folks said this day. He said, praise Yah for sending me to you, prudent woman. Get me on the right course of action. Get me to fight Yah's battle instead of my own personal battles and vendettas. I'm the king. And I need to act like a king. I should have been protecting the men, her men in the field, whether they paid me something or not. They didn't ask me to do it. I should have did it anyway. Because I'm the king. I like that woman. And because keep me from harming you. Had you not come quickly to meet me, not a single male, I would have been feeling some sort of way, as they said today, of Nauvoo's line would have been left by David. I'd have killed everybody and inadvertently killed you too if I got into my feelings when I got there. King Dawood then accepted from her what she had brought him, because it was a wise woman. She used Yah, her understanding of Yah. She didn't come out there cussing, forcing, pointing fingers. And he said to her, he said, you prudent. And he said to her, go up to your home safely. May Yah be with you. See, I needed you. I heeded your plea and respected your wishes. I heard what you said, sister. You're a prudent woman. You put some Yah on me. Oh, you smart. You're a smart cookie. Yeah, you put some Yah on me, sister. I like that. And I heard your plea and respected your wishes. So when Abigail came home to Nabal, the nasty man, he was having a feast. Unbeknownst to him, he was living at knocking on death's door, having a feast in his house. A feast fit for a king, and he should have honored the king. Nabal was in a merry mood and very drunk. He was full of. So she did not tell him anything until daybreak. She let him have a little drunk party. The next morning, when Nabal had slept off the wine and his wife told him everything that had happened, his courage died within him. He didn't have no courage in the first place. It became like a stone. Man had a heart attack. After 10 days later, Yah struck Nabal and he died. See, you ain't got to fight your own battle. See, you got to fight the battles of Yah. You ain't got to get into your personal vendettas with people. You ain't got to argue, fuss, and cuss with folks. Only thing you got to do, fight Yah's battle, you're going to be all right. You ain't got to be feeling some sort of way. Okay? Fight Yah's battle. Yah going to take care of you. And so, 10 days later, the man, he died. His courage left him. He was scared for 10 days. He thought King Dog was going to come knock him down. Man had a stroke or a heart attack. When King Dog heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be Yah, who championed my cause against the insults of now," just like some of us need to do. Let Yah champion your cause. You ain't got to go out there and do nothing to nobody. If you're fighting Yah's battle, you ain't got to worry about fighting your own battles and doing your own personal vendettas. And that's what this is teaching. Praise be Yah who championed my cause against the insults of Nabal and Yah held back his servant because by virtue of Abigail, this prudent woman, from wrongdoing, I would have been wrong if I did what I did. If I stayed into myself, feeling some sort of way, I would have been wrong. And praise to Yah, you sent this intelligent, prudent woman to me who brought Yah back to my attention where I can remain focused on Yah's business. See, that's what we need to be teaching for. And held back his servant from wrongdoing. Yah has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. See, I didn't have to lift a finger. See, brothers and sisters, fellow students, if you neglected to notice, stop fighting your personal vendettas, your personal angers that has nothing to do with Yah. And you going about doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, every man or woman going his own way. Focus on Yah's business, and Yah going to focus on your business. See, we got the game twisted. Focus on Yah's business and let Yah handle your business so you don't be into the wrongdoing. And heed the counsel of intelligent women and intelligent men and prudent women. And we got a lot of them now. We got a lot of prudent women, and we got a lot of prudent men. And they'll tell you, trust in Yah. Not try to justify your own wrongs or somebody you felt somebody did you wrong. Let Yah handle your business. You be about Yah's business. And this is a lesson we all need to take to heart. King Dawood sent messages because he knew this, man, this woman, I like her. I like a woman to keep me on track with Yah. This is my kind of woman. And he proposed marriage to Abigail to take her as his wife. When King Dawood's servant came to Abigail at Carmel, he told her that King Dawood had sent them to her to make her his wife, she immediately bowed low with her face to the ground. Because, you know, a lot of women and a lot of men, they always talking about some women, I'm looking for a good man. I look a good man. And some men, I'm looking for a good woman. But they wouldn't know what if they fell in their lap. They wouldn't know what a good man or a good woman was if it fell in their lap. But Abigail knew. She knew King David was a good man. She knew that he would heed counsel. She knew that he would heed her counsel and vice versa. And it goes on to say, she immediately bowed low with her face to the ground and said, your handmaid is ready to be your maidservant, to wash the feet of my Lord's servant. Then Abigail rose quickly and mounted on an ass with five of her maids in attendance. She followed King David's messengers, and she became his man. She didn't hesitate or procrastinate. See, but in this Western culture, they've taught you their way. Their way, you wait 3, 4, 5 years, get to cope one another, get to know one. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you know them right off. Well, they good, especially when they bring up Yah, especially when they got some Yah in them, especially to keep you on the right track, the right course of action. They got some Yah. You ain't got to wait all that time. In the case of Abigail, she knew a good man when she saw one. In the case of King David, he knew a good woman when he saw one. And he wasn't about to let her go. He wasn't about to let him go. And some of y'all out there talking about, I can't find no good man. I can't find no good woman. Maybe you don't know what one was if you found one in the first place. Okay? Then and then, in the end. Now, David had taken Ahinoam of Jezreel. So both of them, he had another wife. Actually, he had three wives, but she wasn't with him. So he had taken Ahinoam of Jezreel. So both of them, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, became his wives, two wives. Well, he had three, but he left Michal back at the house. Because King Saul had given Michal, David's wife, King David, to Palti, son of Lish from Galim. We're going to find out about him. You know, you can't be loving on other folk wives. Sometimes you got to give it up and turn it loose. Ain't no sense you walking behind them crying. Contrail, my brother and friend, what's
Counselor, you still there?
Yeah, I said, what say you?
It's a lot of dynamics going on. Mm-hmm. This chapter we just read.
Mm-hmm.
You broke it down pretty good, man. King David and Abigail had kindred spirits. Both
sure
of them
did.
Were humble enough
sure
to
did.
Listen to wisdom.
Right.
Both
and
of
each-
them.
And each other
were not fighting their own battles, but they always put the Most High first.
Exactly.
In this instance, King David was upset with Nabal because he had been protecting him firsthand. First of
right.
all, King David's protecting the whole nation while he's on the run because
right.
he's beating back the Philistines while he's still running from King Saul.
Right.
And we know that Nabal flourished because of the protection that King David and his men was giving to Nabal and the property that he had.
Right.
But Nabal had the spirit of like King Saul, like-minded. He thinking
right.
about himself and his wealth and his riches, thinking about what's really going on. Whereas
right.
his wife, Abigail, sees everything that's going on. She
right.
knows that King David is their
right.
protector. She
right.
knows that King David is the next king, in spite of King Saul having a son named Jonathan, who is the crown prince, who is next in line. She knew, King David, you're next in line. And your character has to be good in order for you to lead this nation. And the Most High pushed her forward because she leaned on Yah to be the one to speak to King David because her husband was all about himself. And he's like a lot of us today. He should have been listening to his wife, shouldn't he? But I'm sure he wasn't listening to her because he didn't have the wisdom enough to listen to his wife. King David was keen enough to listen to his wife because it's almost reminiscent of what happened with Jacob and Esau. Esau came out with 400 men to do damage to Jacob. But Jacob, like Abigail, bought gifts for the enemy. Listen, you coming to do war with me, but I'm giving you all these gifts.
Right.
And what she did, it was just compensation for what they had done. Because in a time of shearing sheep, that's when the shepherd makes his money. You about
right.
to sell that wool that these sheep, you know, have produced all year. When
right.
you're shearing it, you're about to sell that. You're about to make your money.
Right.
The fact that, you know, you're killing these sheep, you're about to prepare a feast.
Right.
The feast that he prepared, they say, was fit for a king. So
right.
he could have easily shared his
He's
feast
great.
With the people, King David and his men, that were protecting him easily. But
right.
he showed his heart in saying what he said. He looked at King David as a rebel running from his master, and you a rebel, and this is just the way ill feeling that he had towards him, because he thought he maybe was in a higher position than King David. But as it turned out, King David met his pretty much soulmate, because she was like him and he was like her. They
right.
were both humble, because he was
yep.
humble enough to listen to say, let me ease up off this anger and listen to this woman. Cause most of us don't listen to women. Like, they would have pushed her to the side and kicked her on the road. Like, I'm
right.
taking this dude out. I've been protecting him, and he had that to say about me. You know, I don't want to hear nothing. And
yeah,
my 400 men, we're going to take
yeah.
what we want, and all his wealth, we're going to make it ours. And he could have easily done that.
And Cadre, he made the statement, because I would have inadvertently got hurt you in the mix. You
yeah,
could have been killed.
He's a warrior. He's
right.
a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And when at war, you're in a whole different mindset. And you
right.
know better than me because you're a Marine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you. And that's no good thing. That's why I don't like ballads today. That's one of the reasons why I don't like ballads. I think that's a last resort. That is not that's not the tool in the toolbox. To put
a
out
what resort?
Right.
What resort? And that's for the police warriors that are out there dealing with the general public that don't
right.
have the same type of training. Police officers are warriors in the
right.
midst of civilian population dealing
mm-hmm.
with civilians. So their last resort should be physical deadly force. Their
right.
last resort.
Exactly.
Because they have all other means to control the situation. They have all other means to control the situation. Deadly force should be their last resort.
Life is precious, brother.
Absolutely.
You can't give it, and you damn sure ain't got no business taking it, if you ain't got no business taking it, okay?
And when you take it, you can't give it back.
No.
Like your word, that's just out your mouth. You can't take it back. So
exactly.
your words are like bullets. So this sister, Abigail, her words
mm-hmm.
were pure. Her words are coming from her heart. She was
right.
being guided by Yah, and she saved many lives that day.
She sure
did.
Not being
arrogant, not being boastful, because she's a rich woman. She
right.
got substance.
Right.
And she could have had the same mindset as her husband. Who this little
right.
dude trying to, like, take over my stuff? No.
Right.
She understood the whole dynamics of what was going on with the situation, and she humbled herself before a mighty man,
yeah.
man of the Most High.
Yeah, and she know the more you give, the more you get back anyway. You know what I mean?
A lot of these sisters would have got their heads taken off. You're a man. I don't respect no man. Oh,
yeah.
You would have respected King David that day. Because
you
would have came off.
A lot of these sisters today, I would recommend a lot of these sisters go meet the king, because they wouldn't even went back home. He just knocked them out right there. Shaking their head, wagging their finger. You ain't going to be doing nothing, you punker ass. No. A lot of these sisters who are uneducated in the ways of the Elohim, Yah, and the nation. Now, stay away from the king, because you don't know how to talk to men, number one. They didn't train you not how to respect men, but to hate men and to talk to them any old kind of tacky old way. Now, some of you sisters going to stay home, because you would have did yourself no good in the ball, okay? Because this takes training. This takes knowledge in the way. And it takes study. Okay? And see, go ahead, Cartier.
It's important to get these studies in now.
Right.
Because Yah is going to raise up his mighty men again.
Exactly.
And the people that stand in the way of these mighty men that Yah will raise again, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and you need to learn how to guard your tongues. Men and women alike, guard your tongues. and speak with knowledge the ways of our nation, the ways of Yah. Let's just stop saying any old thing, any old tacky, old messy old way. Okay? If that's not going to work for you in our land, running your mouth off, saying whatever you want to say, how you want to say it, when you want to say it, that ain't going to work for you. So you better, as Cartier alluded, you better take these studies to heart. Okay? All right, Cartier.
The king is coming back.
Truth be told. Amen. Hallelujah.
Gotcha.
He ain't nothing to play with. All right, fellow. Thank you, Cartrell. All right, fellow students, Cartrell. We're going to move right along. 26th chapter of 1 Samuel. The Ziphites came to King Saul. Yeah, the ones from the tribe of Yehuda, this region. The snitches. The snitches came to King Saul. I'm glad you said it. Right in my tongue. Snitches came to King Saul together and said, "David is hiding in the hills of Achila, facing Jesmon." King Saul went down at once to the wilderness of Ziph, together with 3,000 picked, hardened warriors, men of Israel, to search for King David in the wilderness of Ziph. And King Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which faces Jesmon by the road. When King
to interrupt you. But it's kind of reminiscent of Samson, right? How many Israelites did they send up to Samson?
3,000 Yehudites.
It's about 4,000 for him. It was 4,000. You sent in 4,000 brothers after one brother.
Yeah, but they sent in 3,000 after 600.
Along with him himself, yeah, King Israel.
Exactly.
Crazy.
What's that, Cartrell?
That's crazy. We're afraid of one man.
Yeah.
Our people could be afraid of one man. We'll send as many brothers as we can after one man.
You know King David's reputation had preceded himself, so they knew he would be
Israel's baddest enemies. How you going to fight him? You ain't bad enough to face Israel's baddest enemy. How you going to fight him?
No, you can't send 600 for 600. We're going to lose automatically.
3,000 against 600 ain't no odds for King David, because they've been fighting hundreds of thousands of Philistines. So your little 3,000, that's a drop in the bucket for him. But he respects you because you're the anointed.
Exactly. So when King David, who was living in the wilderness, learned that King Saul had come after him into the wilderness, King David sent out scouts, very smart men, and that King Saul, go ahead.
They get the story of Robin Hood from King David.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't doubt it, Cartrell.
They
got a lot of stories.
Robin Hood and his merry men.
Oh, this,
and he was running from the sheriff of Nottingham and the king, right?
You're certainly right. So a lot of these stories we get from our tales, Cartrell, our stories, our history, and made sure that King Saul had come. King David went at once to the place where King Saul had encamped. And King David saw the spot where King Saul and his army commander, Abner, son of Ner, lay asleep. He went into the camp. That boy got balls. I mean, he's got gihonis. And King Saul lay asleep inside the barricade. He was barricade in the middle. And the troops were posted around him. King David spoke up and asked Amalek, the Hittite. See, we get along with other folks too. The Hittite. And Abishah, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, who will go down with me into the camp? The king said, I'm going into the middle of the camp. And Ashbel answered, I will go down with you. So King Daud and Ashbel approached the troops by night and found King Saul fast asleep inside the barricade, his spear stuck in the ground at his head. And Abner, and the troops sleeping all around. Everybody was sleeping. And Abishai said to King Dawid, Yah has delivered your enemy into your hands today. You can do the do to him. Let me pin him to the ground with a single thrust of the spear. I'm going to stick him like a stuck pea to the ground. I will not have to strike him twice. I won't have to strike him twice. Let me get him, King. I won't have to stick him twice. But King Dawid said to Abishai, don't do him violence. No one can lay a hand on Yah's anointed with impunity. You can't put your hand on him, the anointed of Yah, without impunity. It's going to be a requirement on you. And King Dawid went on, and as Yah lives, the Elohim himself will strike him down. Y'all going to take care of him. Or his time will come, he will die. Or he'll get old, he'll die. Or he will go down to battle and perish. One way or another, y'all going to deal with it. I ain't got to worry about it. Don't you put your hand on it. But the Elohim forbid that I should lay a hand on Yah. I can't lay a hand on him. He's anointed by Yah. Just take the spear and the water jar at his head, and let's be off. So King Dawid took away the spear and the water jar at King Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew or woke up. All remained asleep, dead, a deep sleep from Yah. Hold on. King Dawid didn't make this sleep fall upon them. A deep sleep from Yah had fallen upon them. See, Yah can take care of it, folks who at you. You're worried about the wrong thing. King Dawid crossed over to the other side and stood afar on top of a hill. There was considerable distance between them. And King Dawid shouted to the troops and to Abner, son of Ner, Abner, aren't you going to answer? And Abner shouted back, who are you to shout at the king? And David answered, Abner, you are a man, aren't you? And there's no one like you in Israel. So why didn't you keep watch over your Lord, the king, the anointed? For one of our troops came to do violence to your Lord, the king. And you have not given a good account of yourself. What was you doing? As the Elohim lives, all of you deserve to die because you did not keep watch over your Lord, Yah's anointed. Look around. Where are the king's spear and the water jar that were at his head? King Saul recognized King Dawid's voice, and he answered, is that your voice, my son Dawid? And King Dawid replied, it is my lord king. And he went on, but why does my lord continue to pursue his servant? What have I done, and what wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord the king hear his servant out. If the Elohim has incited you against me, let him be appeased by an offering. But if it is men, may they be accursed of Yah, for they have driven me out today so that I cannot share in Yah's possession, but am told, go and worship other gods. They don't want me to worship Yah. They want me to worship other gods. I ain't going to do that. Oh, let my blood not fall to the ground away from the presence of Yah, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a single, as he was hunting a partridge in the hills. You got all these men against me. And King Saul answered, I'm wrong. Come back, my son, Dawid, for I will never harm you again. How many times have you heard that? Seeing how you have held my life precious this day. Yes, I've been a fool. I have erred so very much. King Dara replied, here is your majesty's spear. Let one of your young men come over and get it, and Yah will requite every man for his right conduct and loyalty. For this day the Elohim delivered you into my hands, and I would not raise a hand against Yah's anointed. And just as I value your life highly this day, so may Yah value my life, and may he rescue me from all trouble. He didn't say King Saul or those shoots. He said, may Yah rescue me from all trouble. That including you, King Saul. King Saul answered Dawood, may you be blessed, my son. He had to bless him. My son Dawood, he blessed him. You shall achieve. You shall prevail. Dawood went away. And King Saul went home. See, Dawood wrote that in the psalm, that Yah will make your enemies your footstool. Okay? As long as you follow Yah and do what Yah tell you to do it, how he tell you to do it, when he tell you to do it, he can make your enemies your footstool. Okay? Contrera, what say you, my brother and friend?
Such a sad story. Because our King David loved King Saul. I mean, he loved King Saul. He loved
right.
his son, Jonathan, to the
right.
point they were like brothers. They like, we like the same kind of spirit, man. It's unfortunate that my father is got this evil towards you, because I know that your heart is good and what you've done is good for the nation. So everybody could see in King David that he was a man that loved everybody in his nation. And the tragedy was that he couldn't even be comfortable in his own nation, because he was a fugitive against a king who had so much envy and animosity towards him, he wasn't even focused on the enemies that were threatening the nation. And while King David is being threatened by his own king, he still had to fight the battles for the nation because he was anointed by Yah. And the powers that Yah gave him to like overcome every adversity that he faced, he realized the importance of his humility. He didn't want to be like King Saul. He wanted to be of, you know, a man for the people, a man of Yah. And he knew from his experiences that Yah will protect him from anything. Because how do you walk up on your enemy while they're sleeping and take their weapon and their water jug? Mm-hmm. And then he calls out the king's bodyguard, Abner. Like, Abner, you should be hung from the highest tree in the nation because, yo, you left the king vulnerable. Because I had people who could have took the king's head off, and you wasn't there to protect him, and that's your job? You should be ashamed of yourself. Sound like a Chinese martial art movie. But anyway, he told his man, his nephew.
Hold on. Gotcha, hold on, wait a minute. You're right, I just thought, Abner, you should have had your head taken off. You let the king almost get pinned to the ground. It did do sound like. But we are sort of Oriental people, Contrera. We are
Asiatic. That's where we come from. Shemitic, Asiatic. We ain't
exactly.
Anti-Semitic. We are Shemitic.
No, we ain't Shemitic. We Shemitic. Shemitic.
And you can see the flavor, because that's like some Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee stuff.
And now, you're supposed to be God in the game. You're to the ground. Why would you not awake? You should be ashamed of you dog.
Why do I have the king's spear in my hand and his water jug? What was you doing? Come get it. Send somebody come get it.
Hey, your man to get it here. Right now. It do sound like that Bruce Lee subconscious.
But King Saul finally humbled himself. He's like, damn, I've been chasing this dude, trying to get him. All my efforts, I'm in jail.
He
could have killed me like 3 times.
Uh-huh.
Now he got my spear, my water jug. Abner wasn't on point. And what he's saying is right. He's like, bless you, my son. Is that true, my son, David? Come home, return. So I'm talking about ordeals that King David was dealing with in order to be king of Israel. It's not an easy journey. It's not an easy journey. You ain't just walking up on the throne. You got to prove yourself in more ways than one. And he proved himself in more ways than one. He could deal with the people. He can listen to women, right?
Exactly.
He can strike the enemy. He can have compassion on a king that want to kill him.
And mercy.
Yeah.
And you have to have all those attributes to be king.
And the last thing that he did,
mm-hmm.
he didn't throw the spear back at King Saul to hit him. He threw words at King Saul.
Right.
To protect himself and to stop the madness. The words
that hurt.
King David used in the latter part of this chapter put an end to everything.
That hurt him. And he blessed him. King Saul blessed him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, Godfrey.
It's an amazing story. So many things, so many gems that you can take from understanding the people that we are and what we come from, our roots, you know, because our journey is different from everybody else. Now, Baal, his name means fool in Hebrew. I don't know what your book said. Your book said Baal or something. Now, Baal means fool.
Well, that's good enough for me. And he certainly
and
was.
And Nabalim is more than one fool. It's multiple fools.
Right.
Nabalim.
Okay.
So you want to say Sefer Nabalim, fool's book? That's the word.
Mm-hmm.
Sefer Nabalim, fool's book. Got a lot of Nabalim. Got a lot of Nabal. And that foolishness is going to catch up with them, just like Nabal. They're going to get caught up in their foolishness.
Exactly.
Because now it's time to study and be disciplined, like Nabal's wife, Abigail. And brothers need to pay attention to that story, because a lot of us don't listen to our wives. And he didn't listen to his wife, and he paid the price, because she was wiser than him.
Well, you know, Benjamin Franklin once said, a man that listens to his wife will have a long life. Benjamin Franklin was up to Mark, and I'm not subscribing to him, but just making a point of reference. Even Benjamin Franklin knew that. A man don't listen to his wife won't have a long life. And Nabal certainly didn't have one. And King David certainly did.
Hey, check it. Like you said, she was a beautiful woman, a smart woman. They call her an independent woman. She had her own servant. She had her own wealth. And he wasn't trying to shut her down. He wanted to marry her.
But, you know, she respected herself as a woman. She wasn't trying to be a man. She had intelligence. She was beautiful. She was commercial. I mean, she knew how to take care of business. She knew how to handle business. But she wasn't trying to be no man.
And she had power with her humility.
Right. And, you know, and a woman should want to be a man. You should want to be the woman you were born to be. And, you know, that's what I like about King Solomon. And I'm getting ahead of the story because King Solomon studied animals. He studied birds. He studied everything. And birds, and what the point I'm getting to is this. Animals don't try to be anything but what they're born to be by Yah. You know, if a male dog, that's what he is. If a female dog, that's what she is. If a male lion is a male lion, that's what he is. If a female lioness is a female lioness, that's what she is. She ain't trying to flip the script. I'm going to be a male lion. I'm going to be like the male lions. I'm going to be like the girls. Come on, man. Stop it. Go ahead, Godfrey.
And women have to realize today that they have power in their femininity. Because like you said, she didn't come at him like she was a man. She came at him in her femininity and in her humility.
Right.
She swayed him.
Right.
From his mission, because he was bent, he was determined. His men put their swords on their side, and they was ready to go.
Yeah, she didn't come at him all butch stuff, Cartier. She didn't come up like no butch. She didn't, hey, what's up, man? Let me tell you something, man. You don't need to be doing all this, man. You don't need to be doing. See, there's a way to talk to anybody. Men need to learn how to talk to the women. Women need to learn how to talk to men. Okay? And that's dead on that. Cartrell, my dear brother and friend, If you're done with your commentaries, I certainly am. We are ready to get into the fourth chapter, I believe, of the book of Ecclesiastes, a song of one of our wisest kings in the world, a wisest man in the world. None has been before nor after him. Take heed to him. You know what,
praise
God? Praise God. I was studying after he built the temple, then he built his palace, the forest of Lebanon. And I looked man, that was a huge palace he built. That was a huge palace King Solomon built.
And how he built the temple was incredible because it was prefab. They didn't do any work on site. They did work off site and put the pieces together.
Yep. They prefab and they didn't have to do no more measurements. When they got there, they know where that stone went. They know where that panel went. And everything was prefab, and the forced labor, 30 men. And, you know, even with his forced labor, there was mercy and compassion. There was 1 month on, 2 months off. See, he knew how to treat them. 1 month on, 2 months off. 10,000 men working continually. You work your 10, you work your 1 month, you go back home, take care of your family, take care of your crops and whatnot. And another, you 10,000, you do your month, and they rotate it. That's a man of compassion, just like your daddy was. You know what I mean?
Well, you way ahead of the story, man.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. My bad.
You all the way in King Solomon building a temple.
Hey, man.
Goodness, man. Slow down, bro.
I can't do it. It's just like a lame potato chip cocktail. I can't have, but I can't eat just one.
You're looking for all the gold nuggets at one time.
Nah, it's just like lame potato chip cocktail. I can't eat just one. I thirst after righteousness, cocktail. You can understand, brother. You can understand.
That's what wisdom is all about.
Okay.
Chaser like men chase gold.
Exactly.
And I ain't hating on you, bro.
I've been in
deeper than you.
Yeah, you brought it right all the way over back in Genesis.
Huh?
You brought it right back in Genesis before I know it.
Yeah, man. Most of our people don't cover this territory, and this is important territory to cover in order to see our roots and our culture. Who are we? What's our identity? Who do we match up with? What did our ancestors do? What was our ancient history like? Yeah, we don't know. We know about, you know, George Washington Carver, Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, but you ain't really telling us, you know, our seed, our root, our real, our beginning. So here we're finding out our real beginning. And believe me, the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. And King Solomon was amazing. He's a king. But he's trying to perceive life in a different perspective than a king would. Because like we see, you know, King Saul, when he had one perspective, King David had another perspective that was more broad and more connected with the Most High. And as a result of him having a son like King Solomon, King Solomon is going on the same level as King David, fighting the wars King David fought. So there's not as much blood on his hands. So as king and administrator of the nation, he has peace. So he explores life like from Adam's perspective, not as a king, but as a man in creation. And when he says anything in relation to things under the sun, it's showing the limitations of man's view, because that's what we are, under the sun. But beyond us is the eternal. Creation is eternal. Yah is eternal. His host is eternal. The earth is eternal. Yah's command is eternal. But we understand it from a limited perspective because we are finite beings because of our mortality. And our mortality came because of our disobedience to us lining ourselves up with the Most High. So these are things that King Solomon is exploring. And I hope I didn't go too far off on the deep end. But anyway, we give thanks and praise to King Solomon. They call him Kohelet. Lemuel, the preacher, he had various names, nicknames, acronyms, but the fourth chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. Not just in Israel, but in all nations, the history of man. We're still under oppression, right? We call it universal white versus supremacy. And
right.
They are oppressing many peoples worldwide. So he's looking at that, not just from the nation of Israel and his perspective as a king, but
you know,
in life in general.
Huh? You made a vital point there. And we should always be cognizant of every day, just like our great King Solomon. We shouldn't close our eyes to what's going on in the universe, but we should be cognizant, just like King Saul, what's going on in the universe. We shouldn't put our heads in the hole and just only think about what's concerning us. We should be cognizant of what's going on with this planet Earth, what's going on with animals, what's going on with other nations. And so we should be cognizant of everything. Truth be told, Contrail.
Yes. So the next verse right here, or the same verse, because we're in the same verse, the next sentence rings a bell right now. He says, look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. Are we living under that cycle right now? Because we've seen tears. People crying for the verdict that came out. Finally, a little semblance of justice. People were crying because the oppressor gave a little semblance of justice. They ain't really, you know, full justice because we don't know what he's going to be sentenced to. Yeah, he may be guilty of all three counts, but how many years is he going to serve in jail? Because they have something they call concurrent, right? Yeah, I'm so, you know what concurrent is, right?
Yeah. I'll serve them.
Yeah. So they ball up all three charges into one. They call it concurrent. He may just do 10 years, get out on good behavior after 8.
Well, Contrail, I had fellow students. The Yumsu is a humble man. I don't care about what you think about Yumsu. Well, I only care about what y'all thinks about me. Now, Yumsu had a 10-year sentence. I think I was the first offender, and I had a 10-year sentence. And of a 10-year sentence, I think I did 2.5 years on it as the first offender. And so he's not going to do that much time. I had concurrent charges, and concurrent charges mean, like, if you get a 10-year sentence and a 3-year sentence and a 1-year sentence, all of them is going along the same way. You may work off that 1-year sentence quicker than that 2-year sentence and then that 10-year sentence, but all of them are being worked off the same way. So that's what it means by concurrent. And so like I said, on the 10-year sentence, I had to do, as a, I think, 30% of it, and I think he's going to have to do 30% of whatever they give him. So if he gets 20 years, he has to do 30%, right? Let's say they give him 20 years. He's only going to have to do 5-6 years before he get go up for probation. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to give it to him. So, you know, if he's got 20, he's going to do about 5-6 years. They're going to let him out. Not like Bill Cosby. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so sad.
Yep.
Because we're looking at the tears of our people, right? Because of the oppressor. Talking about no justice, no peace, Black Lives Matter. And we don't have any comforter because we don't know Yah. Yah's not trying to comfort us under the doctrines and us trying to become Democrats and Americans and make America do right? No. America is our oppressor, and that's what they represent. It says on the side of the oppressors is power, and America uses power against our people. We have no power against them. That's why we're in the streets crying and getting shot. But we have no comforter because we have not turned our hearts back to the God of our fathers. He says, therefore, I praise the dead who are already dead more than the living who are alive. Now, why would King Solomon say that? Because the dead got more peace than the people that's living, right?
Exactly.
Sleep in peace. Rest in peace. That's why he say, you know, if you're dead, you ain't going through the trials and tribulations that the living are going through because they are under oppression. Yet, better than both is he who has never existed. So why be born in the first place if you're going to go through oppression and then die? That's his question. who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun? Yeah, so the Most High didn't intend for men to do evil works on his creation on the earth. He intended them for them to do good. But we, with our choice of good or evil, we choose evil, and that's the problem. It's not the Most High. It's the choices that men make. It says the vanity of selfish toil. Again, I saw that all toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and a grasping for the wind. So we see that in the story of King David and King Saul. King Saul was envious of King David, but he had a blessing that he could have took full advantage of. But he's so focused on King David that he didn't realize that he had a blessing for himself. Everybody that's born is born with a gift from Yah. And you can't be looking on my plate and not seeing what's on yours. So count your blessings, whatever the Most High blessed you with, and don't be looking at another man or another person and measuring yourself against them. Be thankful for the things that the Most High blessed you with. The fool folds his hand and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful of quietness and both hands full, together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, without companion. He hath neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, for he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. So you have people who just work themselves to the bone. They don't start families. They don't have children. They don't get married. They're just throwing up riches to satisfy himself. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a fruitful cord is not quickly broken. So again, united we stand, divided we fall. If you're out there fighting a battle alone, you have no strength.
We say that quite often on the Real Talk for Real People show, Katria.
No question. So iron sharpens iron. We strengthen one another. And you out there trying to do it alone by yourself, that's not going to do it, especially if you're not connected with the Most High. It says, better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. So we know that King Saul couldn't be admonished.
Mm-hmm. It's
better that the youth be wise in their understanding than an old king who you can't really tell him what to do.
Exactly.
When it comes to doing right or wrong. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. Yes, King Saul was born poor in his kingdom, and people were oppressing the land,
mm-hmm.
and because he rose to power, it's all about him, and he can't be told anything by good counsel.
Mm-hmm.
King Solomon says, I saw all the living who walked under the sun. There were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a grasping for the wind. So a king may get his glory in the time that he rules, but it's only for a moment in time that lasts. It doesn't last forever. And the generations that come after him won't even remember him. Which is why many of our people don't even know. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, according to scholars. And most of our people don't even know anything, have no clue or inkling as to the depth of his wisdom, which is why there is no common sense anymore.
Exactly. If common sense was coming, we wouldn't have any problem, that would we, Cartrell?
Oh, no. A lot of our problems were resolved.
Exactly. That was a call that came in about my my niece. And she went to go see my sister, her mom's. She wasn't aware of her dire straits, and she kind of fainted in the hospital because she, you know, she wouldn't use her mother because my sister only had one child. And so...
Your sister Valerie.
Yeah, Valerie. So she wasn't aware of the seriousness of my sister's status. And so she went up to the hospital, and seeing my sister incubated like that caused her to faint. So that's why that call came in. I do apologize.
Wow.
And I said to the cities, keep my sister's fellow students in your prayers and praise the Most High. And let the Most High will be done. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. Well, Cartrell and I, we don't know where y'all going, but we know for certain that you're getting ready to get out of here. We hope that you take these studies to heart. And two is better than one. That's why the Most High made the Real Talk the way he has made it with Cartrell and I and many more, because two is better than one coming together. And we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for Cartrell, and I suspect that he's thankful for me. It makes the load a whole lot lighter, okay? And it gives you encouragement that you are one accord. When you know someone is like-minded, kindred spirit, they give you some motivation also. It motivates me with Cartrell, and I suspect that I motivate him also. And we pray that we motivate you to do the right thing, which is trust in the Most High. Let him direct and order your steps and stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because your hearts are broken. Get you a new one. Get you a new one like King David asked for. That one will work for you. The one you get is broken or is bent, is darkened. It is not working for you. It is working entirely against you. You can't govern your anger. You can't exercise mercy and kindness. You can't follow Yah in any kind of way because your heart is not right. So ask for a new heart. One that loves the Most High, as King David said, with all your heart, all your mind, that reservoir that holds your knowledge, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your brothers and sisters as yourself, and that thirst after righteousness. That's what we recommend. That's what you ought to pray for. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, fellow students. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And we're gone. We love you just like this woman said, just because. Shalom and good night.
Set of regimented rules. I'm amazed how my sister loves.